Good morning and welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair on this beautiful Friday. Today is March 9th and the year is 2018. How about that? We have plenty of sunshine coming into the studios and a big weekend coming up. And I appreciate your tuning in. And what a fantastic show Father Gramquist just had. And if you missed part of it or all of it, I'd say tune in tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. It will be replayed. It's an excellent show. Kind of a show where you say, I wish I would have paid attention in school when it came to the music teachers. Well, what should I do today? A guest, that's it. I'll have a guest in studio. And I always introduce him as my good friend, the good doctor, the good professor, Bob Will, behind the microphone. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, Wayne.
You remembered my name.
I've been practicing it now for a few years.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. I gave you a call last week sometime, and I asked you if you'd come in this Friday. We get together every couple of months for sure.
Yeah.
And it was a special request that you be on the air today. By you have a fan club, I found out.
Oh, indeed. I even get cards from the fan club.
You have a card?
Yes, indeed, I do.
There it is.
In fact, I just have one with me. Now, and I'm glad you asked. It, happy birthday, of course. And it says on it, birthdays are good for you. Statistics show that people who have the most birthdays live the longest. So this is my 90th.
Yeah.
And I guess that proves it.
What does it say inside?
I'm still living.
Yeah, you had a birthday yesterday.
March 8th?
March 8th. That was yesterday.
That was yesterday.
Okay,
yes.
So you're a day older than 90.
And then a day older than yesterday, too.
Yeah, that's true.
And I'm keeping up.
And now you can say, when people say, how old are you? You can say, I'm over 90.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. And then they can guess. You look like you're about 79.
Clean living.
Yeah.
Clean living. That's what
I believe that. I truly believe that. Mm-hmm. You know, that you're just a well-educated man, and you had a wonderful wife, and you had great kids, and a professor, and all kinds of other things. The Distinguished Service Award from the defeat of Jesse James Day Committee, the Joseph Lee Haywood.
Yes.
That worked at Carleton College in 1876 and was shot and killed by Frank James.
That's right. So I'm delighted. It's been a good life and so far a long one, and I trust it'll get even longer.
I hope so. You look better. Yeah, a little stumbling block along the way occasionally, but read the inside of that card, will you please?
Happy 90th birthday from your radio fan club, Doc and Greg Ager, President and Vice President of the KYMN Bob Will Fan Club.
Yeah, that's Ocker. It's pronounced Ocker. And that he is a fan of yours. I know the man, and I know the woman, Gigi. Mm-hmm. And they always, when are you going to have Bob back on? They like you. And you have a lot of other listeners that enjoy your show.
Well, that's very kind of them.
So I came up with an idea. And I've got the idea on what we can talk about today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Sure.
And I would like to know, you were born in 1928.
That's right.
Okay, so that would,
the winter
20th century. Yeah, that's the 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I know that you don't remember a lot about the 20s, but maybe you do about the 30s. And I would like to go through decades, and maybe it's just history lessons that you taught or learned or read about. But what I'll tell you what hits me about the 1920s. Okay.
Yeah.
Number one, the dancing, and bootlegging, and the crash of the market, 1929. What's your memory, your thought when you think of the 20s?
Well, actually, I don't think much of the 20s. What I learned of the 20s, I learned in the 30s. And there were some exciting things. You mentioned bootlegging, for example. I grew up in a
Small
Wisconsin town. Yeah, it was actually just two highways that bumped into each other. But one of them was a main highway going north, up to northern Wisconsin, and from Chicago. And my parents have reminded me, told me stories of how Al Capone, a convoy of two or three cars, would stop in this little town and gas up because they had gone whatever that was, 120 miles at 4 miles a gallon in those big old 1920s, 1930s cars. And they'd stop and pull in, and my dad would know that we'd be making money this week because all three of the cars, they said, would line up, and their tanks were large because they just burned the gas up. Then there'd always be a good tip beyond that. So that's one thing I remember hearing about
in the
30s and 20s.
Okay, now let's go to the 1930s, and you would have been up to 12 years old in the 1930s.
Yeah.
And what I know and read about in the 1930s was, of course, the migration of the Midwestern Oklahoma, for example, people that had to move to California mm-hmm. because of the crop dust, the crop and all the dust that went all the way to New York, and also the Depression. Mm-hmm. So you're now up to 12 years old. What's your 30s thinking?
Well, of course, I didn't know much about the Okies and the Arkies heading west. There was talk of the sandstorms and the dryness and the drought on the lower plain states. But our little town depended on the local economy. And the local economy was primarily small farms, 40, 60 acres, primarily dairy farms. The trucks would go around in the morning and collect milk from the milk houses and take to the dairy where it got split up into bottles and delivered. The farmers yearned to have the new equipment that was available but too costly for them to be able to afford. And so there were many homemade tractors that were in use. There was a lot of still horses that were. My first work on a farm was cutting hay with horses and a sickle bar that would go back and forth and cut the hay as the blades ran against each other. The horses, I think the horses knew what they were doing. It couldn't have been me. I wasn't that good a driver of horses. But I could do a field quite neatly by the time I ended my career as a farmer.
Now, when you were 12 years old, was your highest years in the 30s.
Yeah.
And the 30s had that depression. Were you aware of that, or were you just a young boy in a, you have no siblings, just mm-hmm. your mom and dad, and you run the gas station? Were you aware of the country's going into that Great Depression, or were you?
No.
Nope.
No.
No.
Okay. We knew we were poor. We knew we couldn't do things that maybe other people could do in way of spending money and buying things. But the idea of something bigger than North Lake, Wisconsin, was unknown to me. I knew geographically, yes, there was a world out there. Yes, I had a globe and I could see other countries, and I knew there was a New York and it was a stock market. But I didn't sense its importance. And this was the way people lived in our community. There was large amounts of unemployment. Every day, in a nice weather, they would gather on the porch of my dad's garage and listen to baseball game, football game, chat, talk about things. Did you hear that there's an opportunity for a job in Oconomowoc? No, what? They'd be discussing the possibilities. Do you think that the gravel pit is going to open up again? I'm told that there's some need for it. They're going to be improving a road somewhere, and they'll need gravel for that.
What was that called when in the 30s guys gathered around the stove and talked baseball? Was that like stovetop baseball, or cliche?
I don't know what it
was. But you're describing it.
That was it, yes. And, of course, as a kid, I was around the fringes of it, and they'd ask me to do something for them. Get some water or whatever. Here's a nickel. Go over and get a pack of cigarettes for me.
A nickel.
Yeah.
$10 now.
Yeah. Probably $10 for one cigarette, the way it's going. So that was my impression of the great. And I saw it in Dad, the business, too, as farmers would come in, pay their bill. They didn't have enough money. The milk check didn't go that far. They had one use or another of it. And in order to pay Dad for the work he did for them, they'd bring in a couple of chickens or some recently butchered pork or some crops, some vegetables that Mom's garden, her garden, the farmer's wife's garden, had, and would bring something in for us and would write that off, and there'd be some discussion. That's a wonderful raspberry pie.
Mm.
And, how much do you think that'll be? 50 cents for the pie to write down my bill by 50 cents?
We're talking with Bob Will, who celebrated his 90th birthday yesterday, and Dr. Professor Bob Will, retired from Carleton College. He was the one-time chairman of the economics department, and we're going to go through the decades and what he remembers. We're going to go into the 40s now, and this is one that I can semi-relate to. I'm going to do something here, and you tell me if you've ever heard this before, okay? Recognize that?
Glenn Miller. It sounds like Glenn Miller.
It's Duke Ellington.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, and Take the A Train.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wouldn't have heard much of that. We did have a radio.
Yeah.
But most of life was work. And maybe on Sunday, there would be. Coming home after school and doing some work for my dad. And then after supper, we'd put on the radio, and I could listen to The Lone Ranger, Renfrew of the Mounted, of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, Don Winslow of the Navy, Tom Mix, and they'd be 15-minute music, 15-minute drama programs. And, oh, they would be exciting to a boy that I enjoyed very much.
Well, I'm going to try another song here and see if you listen to this on the radio.
Choo choo.
Yes, it is, and it's the fella you mentioned before.
Breakfast in Carolina.
Glenn Miller and his orchestra.
Yeah.
Well, that's a song that was very popular in 1941, mm-hmm. which is the year I was born.
Yeah.
And my memory of the 40s socially mm-hmm. is pretty limited, except for seeing a lot of people in Army uniforms, Navy uniforms.
Sure.
And I remember slaughtering chickens in the city mm-hmm. at my aunt's house, yep. wringing necks. And the 40s, to me, were, you know, starting to get interested in cars.
Mm-hmm.
As a kid, I would have been,
in
49, I've only been 8, but mm-hmm. I thought cars were cool. They had running boards,
for goodness sakes. Running boards, yes.
And but you...
Those curved fenders coming up.
It,
some had the spare tire and an indentation in the fender.
Yep.
And they'd often have a chrome cover over the spare tire.
Yep.
There.
So headlights were on the fenders instead of in the fenders.
Yeah.
Now, the 40s for you, oh boy, that was a big time for you.
Oh, yeah. Those were great years. I was a teenager in the late 40s and went into service. In the late 40s, middle 40s, 1944, 45.
You were just a boy.
I was 16 when
you lied.
And they called me in at 17.
Oh.
For the...
I thought you lied to get in.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No, although my parents had to sign for me at 16.
It. Okay.
And then they said they would call me in, and I had to sign up for the duration of the war in 6 months, which was a kind of common... enlistment period in those. Some people enlisted for a given number of years, but they had this other version too. And I did that. And I signed up as a radar technician. I was to go to school for radar work. And as a result of that, they enlisted me as a seaman first class. I didn't have to be a seaman recruit or a seaman second class.
You were in the Navy.
Yeah.
Okay.
And as seaman first class, I also got a couple bucks more a month.
Yeah. A couple bucks, literally.
Literally, yeah. And then, of course... I didn't do as well in the radar school as they thought I should, and so I got bumped out to the West Coast to be on a picket boat, destroyer escort kind of thing. We were supposed to go up and down the West Coast looking for the Japanese Navy. Well, the war was essentially over by then. There was not going to be any Japanese Navy creeping up on San Francisco. That was fortunate because I didn't enjoy being a sailor on the sea. I was seasick, sicker than a dog.
You couldn't get used to it?
Couldn't get used to it.
Wow.
So by the end of 3 weeks, we had to go in to refuel. And so the captain, an ensign of our little ship, said that I was a dry land sailor, and he put me off. And I stayed on the land ever since.
And the 40s, of course, not only serving your country at the end of the Second World War, also was a very important part of your life, because being a farm boy from Wisconsin, whose dad owned a gas station, at that means he also fixed cars, you had to decide which way you want to go, and I want to remind folks, Dr. Will here is a retired, I like to say, professor emeritus of the economics department of Carleton College, and so far nothing steers you to that title from what you've did in the 20s, 30s, and 40s. What happened when you mustered out of the Navy in the 40s? That's memorable, because we got to do the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s.
Yeah, but we got the rest of our lives
that's
to do
true.
That. We don't have to dash through them.
Okay, but then take your time, my friend.
In the 30s, though, there was an element that got me. I mean, it turns out that it was tough on me as a kid, but I was the bright star of grade school. And there were only 9 people in my class, but I sat on the top of it. Things came easily to me, and I ended up skipping fourth grade went from third to fifth. I enjoyed reading. In 1938, my folks had bought a house, and we moved into it, but it came with the 50 volumes of the Harvard Classics. They threw that in, the seller of the house, with it.
They didn't want to move those books, huh?
They wanted to get rid of the book. And I won't say I read all of them, but I certainly read in many of them. And that was kind of self-learning.
Was it like an encyclopedia?
A series of books.
Okay.
Yeah. Of different
authors.
Yeah. Authors, philosophers, historians.
You were reading philosophy at age 10?
Not understanding it.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But I was reading it. That's all you could do with a book.
Yeah.
The stories weren't. It wasn't well. There were fiction too. It wasn't all heavy duty stuff. That interest in reading, I think. And my mother had been a school teacher. She enjoyed reading and making sure that I read. My dad, while he hadn't a significant education, was very self-taught and enjoyed reading. For years, he knew so much more than I did about his favorite topic, the Civil War. I was, in a sense, prepared for it. And then as I went to high school, and as I indicated, I dropped out at the end of my senior year to go into the Navy. But in high school...
Well, why did you choose the Navy? Because the Army was drafting like crazy. Was the Navy drafting?
No.
No. So
I don't know that it was drafting.
So why did you choose the Navy, being a farm boy and seeing pictures of ships being bombed out in the middle of nowhere, being an easy target, and you chose the Navy?
I didn't want to sleep in a ditch.
Okay. You didn't want to be a grunt, as they say.
That's right. Okay. That's what they say. Yes, I was aware of what could happen to a ship, but I also knew that it didn't happen to each and every ship. So you take your chances, and you'd still have a pretty nice bed to bunk to sleep in.
As I mentioned, I grew up watching movies in the post-war, and the newsreels with the aerial fights that they had in, with ships, and I'm going... Who in the heck would want to be sitting duck? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's stupid. That's the way I took it. We'll continue with that thought right after this break. Our guest this morning is the good doctor and professor, Bob Will, who celebrated and is still celebrating his 90th birthday, which occurred yesterday in 1928.
Don't miss the Home Improvement and Design Expo this Saturday at the Ames Arena in Lakeville, off Highway 50 in Apava. See up to 150 home improvement experts. The Home Improvement and Design Expo this Saturday only in Lakeville. It's the smart place to start your next home improvement project. See it all at expoguys.com. That's expoguys.com.
All right, America. H&R Block has some good news. For a limited time only, you could get a refund advance loan of up to $3,000 the same day you file at Block. That's right. You could get up to $3,000 today. No interest. Told you it was good news. To learn more or find participating locations near you, visit hrblock.com. Get your taxes won. Optional tax refund related loan from BofI Federal Bank. Not your tax refund. $500, $750, $1,250, or $3,000 loans offered. Approval and loan amount based on expected refund and other conditions. Funds loaded on prepaid card. Tax returns may be e-filed without applying for this loan. Fees for other products or features may apply.
H&R Block, 1300 Bolenbacher Drive in Northfield. Open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Saturday, 9 to 5. Walk-ins are welcome or call 645-6281 for an appointment.
I'm taking advantage of this CD I had that somebody gave me for my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
The top tunes of 1941.
Hit parade.
And you know, I know some of them.
Oh, Stardust.
Grace.
Vaughn Monroe. Leather lunged.
Vaughn Monroe. He's the one that did my favorite song, "An Old Cowpoke Went Riding Out One Dark and Windy Day."
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Got to put your earphones on, my friend.
Oh, are we there already?
Yeah, we're talking. Yeah, I was playing music, and you couldn't even hear it.
Good morning, Northfield.
Here's what I was... Okay. Remember that one?
Yes. What's the Dreamers?
I'll Be With You.
And Apple Blossom.
Yes.
Yeah, but
probably the Andrews Sisters. I don't know. I can't read. Can you read it?
Oh, sure.
It's cut number 17, I think. I don't have my glasses. Two old guys.
It is the Andrews Sisters.
Yeah,
Andrews Sisters.
I like them.
Yeah. The San Antonio Rose is there with Bob Will and his Texas Playboys.
Yes, I was going to surprise you. What cut is that?
Number 19.
All right, we'll play that a little bit later on.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking about Bob Will, we have Bob Will in studio right now, Professor Bob Will, Emeritus, and we're celebrating his 90th birthday, which happened yesterday in 1928. Sounds dumb to say yesterday in 1928,
yeah.
But the date is March 8th. Yeah. And we're talking about the 40s, and you, of course, were in the service, mm-hmm. and that is a monumental memory that you have mm-hmm. in that regard. But what did you do in the 40s after serving our country that was important to you in your chain of accomplishments?
Well, the very obvious thing at that time for any young man of my age was the GI Bill, one of the great inventions, social inventions, along with Social Security and Medicare. And I took the GI Bill and went off to a little college in Minnesota. I arrived home in early August. I left home in early September.
You arrived home from the Navy in August,
yeah.
and went to a little college in September.
That's right.
In Minnesota. Where was that college?
Northfield, I think it was.
Was it St. Olaf?
Nice little town.
St. Olaf?
No, it wasn't a religious college.
I thought there was a connection to Carleton.
Ah, that's the name. I was trying to think of it.
Didn't they have a religious connection, or don't they? I mean, they have a nice chapel and all that?
Well, they did originally. They were the Congregationalists marched westward across the country and would establish a college at every state as they went along.
Okay.
And so it's largely Congregationalist here. And they'd have their convocations in the Congregational Church.
Across the street from the president's house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He didn't have far to walk.
No, he didn't.
To give his sermon. But yes, I came to Carleton in 1946.
Why in Carleton? I mean, you're over in northern Wisconsin.
Well,
there's got to be a connection.
Yes, and there was. Obviously, I realized I wanted to go to college. I didn't want to go back to Northlake. And probably go into the bank, which had a total of three people, the president, the cashier, and the teller. That wasn't for me. I'd seen now the wide world, or some of it at least, and I wanted to enjoy as much of it as I could. And so my parents had been realizing this, too. I mean, we talked, they've had some friends who had a son in a armed forces unit that was given special training at Carleton. I don't know what that was, what training it was, but the parents, friends of my mother and dad, had come up here to see their son. And they liked Northfield, and they liked what they saw of Carleton and St. Olaf. But they urged my mother to get some information to send to me, and she did. And wrote a letter to the admissions office. They sent stuff down. Then, as it happened, Larry Gould, who was president of Carleton at the time, was a famous speaker around the nation. He had more honorary degrees than all but one other father at Notre Dame had more honorary degrees than Larry Gould. But at any rate, Larry was speaking in Waukesha, 16 miles from where my parents lived in North Lake, and at Carroll College, he was giving a talk. And so my parents went over to listen to his talk and then visited with him, were impressed. He was a great salesman for Carleton. So he sent some material to me, or had somebody send me, Paul Kleinfelder.
Oh, for gosh sakes, his names are familiar.
Yeah. I liked what I saw, and they liked the fact that I'd be coming with a GI Bill, because scholarship money wasn't as abundant then as it is now. You know, there it surprises me, but some of the colleges with large endowments are now saying, well, I know of one university that says, if your family has an income of $65,000 or less, you can come to our university free. You'll get scholarship aid to cover the cost of our university, which is $65,000 a year.
Yeah, for sure.
That's remarkable.
Is it a myth that to get into Carleton, you have to be one of two things or both, rich and brilliant?
No, I don't.
I know they have a lot of scholarship programs now, and the parents are not wealthy.
No.
But in the
you got to be bright. That alone won't do. You've got to have some sense that you're a significant person. You contribute to the world you're in. You're active in school governance, high school governance, plays, athletics, music. You got to have something more than narrow academic brilliance. That's good, but you need more than that.
Well, that's real heavy now on applications nowadays.
Yeah.
That you participate in civic opportunities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be rich. Colleges like Carleton admit on the basis of the capability of the student. They don't know. They try not to know. The money income that the family might have.
And that's the thumbs up, thumbs down is it the committee that does that? So when you came to Carleton as a GI guy, mm-hmm. and there were probably students, there weren't many female students?
Coming in, no, you're right. There had been a lot of female students, almost entirely
during
female, during the war. And after the war, there was this burst of returning men going to college, new for the first time. There would be the girls still finishing off a junior year or senior year, whatever it might be. And it took a few years to get that back into balance. We've been lucky, I think, at Carleton in being able to maintain that balance. I think we're two or three people off each year in the entering class, but it's we managed to be fairly equal, boys, girls, men, women.
I have a question now that is going to be interesting. The answer should be interesting. You indicated that when Carleton accepts students, they want more than brilliance and book learners.
Yeah.
They want people that mix well within the social realms of the campus and the communities. So what was your outside thing other than being intelligent and being able to learn? What was that thing that you had?
I was very good at organizing things. I became business manager of the yearbook, raising the money for it.
Okay, that sounds like you.
Yeah, I did a lot of money raising over the decades. I'm sure there were other things that...
You weren't in music, you weren't in athletics,
I got my letter in swimming.
Oh, you were? Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What was your favorite backstroke, breaststroke, all the others that they have? What's that smile about?
I'll tell you.
Oh, I know. I bet you had a joke there.
When I was 5 years old, on Sunday in the summer, we'd often, in our little town, go down to the lake where there was a old-fashioned resort, you know, cabins, no bathroom in, and a little beach. I was five. I was playing on the pier going out. And Lloyd Stapleton came along and said, "Bubby, have you learned to swim?" And I said, "No." I hadn't. "Well, about time you learned," he said, and picked me up and he threw me in.
Oh, my goodness.
And, of course, I went up and down and was really scared of it. I think if he had warned me a little bit ahead of time, but just picked me up and threw me in. That colored me the rest of my life. I was frightened of the water. I enjoyed
it. And you joined
the
Navy.
I joined the Navy. I've gone sailing. I've enjoyed sailing in the Caribbean. I've enjoyed sailing in Lake Superior, Long Island Sound.
The Apostle Islands.
Pardon?
The Apostle Islands.
The Apostle Islands. And so what I did when I came to college, what can I do? The college had a requirement that you had to swim four lengths of the pool, which was under the gymnasium at that time. And I couldn't do that. I went in the Navy before that, of course, and the Navy thought I ought to swim. Big pool at boot camp, Great Lakes. And we had to go up a ladder to a platform and jump off into the pool. I said, I spoke to the man in charge. He said, "Don't worry about it, lad," or whatever he said. "The water, stand in the water as vertical as you can and tickle your head back, and the water will come to your chin about, your mouth. No worry, just do that." So I did it. And the problem was that the water came up to my eyes.
Yeah, you weren't as tall as he.
Well, partly that, but partly dense. It turns out that if you're more dense in your bone structure, the bones aren't as aerated as they'd otherwise be, and so you sink down lower in the water. And so I had these bony bones instead of airy bones. And I had that fiber reinforced now in the Navy, came to Carleton. I had to pass this to graduate, swimming the pool. What can I do about that, I thought to myself. So I became manager of the swim team for a couple of years, and then I did well under Coach Chet McGraw, ran a good ship, and then Bob, I need somebody to coach the freshmen this year. So my senior year in college, I coached the freshmen swim team. And we had victory year. We didn't have a single loss, the freshman swim team, that year.
Was that kind of like do as I say, not as I do?
A little bit like that. They didn't know that I couldn't swim. Nobody knew that. And then at the end of the year, our last victory, they picked me up and threw me in. And I was flailing around. And I remember hearing once, "My God, he can't swim." And here, you know, I took to coaching. I could know what to look for in the way of the stroke to improve the power of the stroke, timing of the stroke, and so forth. And so they jumped in and pulled me out.
Well, who was that guy that threw you off the pier?
Lloyd Stapleton.
Well, who was Lloyd Stapleton to throw a five-year-old kid in the water?
Just, you know, it's a small community. It takes a village to bring up a child.
But he was trying to drown a child. Did I mean, was he like a farmer? Was he like a merchant? Oh. Or was he an uncle? Or was he...
I see your point. No, relative.
Did the guy run the beach or the...
Nobody did that.
Okay.
I don't remember.
Just a guy.
What, Lloyd, the Stapletons were a big clan, Irish
okay.
community.
All right.
Well, and was the Depression. Maybe he was, like so many, were unemployed. He was around the garage a lot, I remember, one of those people that sat on the porch and listened.
By the way, Gould and his speeches and a priest from Notre Dame, would that be like Father O'Brien?
No, Father Hesburgh.
Okay, you got the name now.
H-E-S-B-U-R-G-H.
Okay. Isn't that funny? You could tell me that, but then now you got it. That's the way it works, huh?
It is. Yeah. It is.
I'm going to have to take a break, and we'll be back. We're with Bob Wills, celebrated his 90th birthday yesterday, and he is a retired professor and doctor. Mm. Doctor. Oh, yeah, that's the good doctor. Hey, you know what? They come out with a TV show. I've been calling you the good doctor for years, and now they got a TV called The Good Doctor. Mm-hmm. It's probably a cliche that's been around forever.
Hmm.
I don't know.
I don't either. Maybe I ought to be on that show.
I think you should. I'll call them up during the break. Yeah. We'll be right back.
Aging Services for Communities is a nonprofit agency dedicated to personalized, non-medical care for families throughout southern Minnesota. They are in need of good drivers to take residents to and from medical appointments in Faribault, Farmington, Lakeville, and Northfield. If you are available to provide transportation assistance, please call 507-317-1050. Learn more about Aging Services for Communities online at aging-services.org.
Pick this one out. What's the name of it?
I don't know. Apple Tree or
no,
something?
No, that was the other one.
Racing with the Moon.
Of course.
Yeah.
Is it Racing With or Racing To?
To.
Okay. I don't know.
I don't know either.
And that's Vaughn?
Racing With.
Okay.
Vaughn.
And that's Vaughn Monroe.
Right.
Now, for those of you that are in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, this was a big deal, a top 16 tune in 1941. We're talking about 1941 because my guest, and that, of course, is Professor Dr. Bob Will, had his 90th birthday yesterday, and I'm asking him by decade what was that he recalls from that era. We talked about the 20s. He born in 1928. He was born in 1928. Not a whole big memory about that. 1930s, a lot of memories about that. We're in the 1940s. We got him through the Second World War, and now we got him on campus here in Northfield at Carleton College, and he ends up being a swimming coach and a salesman for the Carletonian. Is that the name of the yearbook?
The Algol, A-L-G-O-L. It was a star discovered at Carleton in the observatory.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when you did your 4 years in 4 years?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And were you married during or after?
Long after.
Long after. Okay.
Yeah.
So you graduated in what year?
50.
1950. Mm-hmm. So now we're into the 1950s.
Already. Yes.
Okay. Any footnote on the 40s that was impressive to you besides the war and
I just was thinking of the hit parade songs of the 19th. That was a famous radio station on a musical station that had a weekly show, which was the hit parade, and the number of times the different pieces, music, songs were played. And as I look at this, I smile a bit. Number 21 was Amapola, my pretty little poppy. My heart is wrapped around you, Jimmy Dorsey.
Oh, okay.
You're so sweet and lovely. And pretty little poppy. Sounds kind of nice, doesn't it? A little flower.
Pretty little poppy. I'm not familiar with that.
You know what flower the poppy was?
I know. Pretty, pretty angel eyes. Yeah. Pretty, pretty angel eyes. Yeah. Pretty, pretty, pretty. That well, would be the 50s.
This would have been a drug.
A drug?
The poppy is the opium.
Oh, and they were singing about it?
Oh, yeah. You know, nobody knew that.
But do you think that was the point?
Sure. Yeah.
Oh, well, we had that when I was a disc jockey. I was playing drug-related, one toke over the line.
Oh,
I had
sure.
no idea what that meant.
Yeah, yeah.
And Papa's got a brand-new bag. I had no idea. I thought, that's a dumb name. I didn't know that's what that stuff meant. And here we are back in 1941.
Yes.
The same thing going on.
Drugs, yeah.
Oh, for gosh
sakes. Cocaine Bill and Morphine Sue were strolling down the avenue. Have a snort, have a snort, have a snort on me, was one of the songs.
Really?
I didn't do drugs. I wasn't aware of drugs at that time. It was only later that I learned of the connection between popular music and
oh,
drugs.
Oh, for gosh sakes. That's really new to me. I did not know that. Say that one again about cocaine.
No. I shouldn't have said it.
Snort me now or what? Whoever. My goodness.
Oh, I like this one, though. The Ink Spots.
Oh, I like Ink Spots.
I don't want to set the world on fire.
Great lyrics.
I just want to start a flame in your heart.
That is a great song.
That is.
You know which one I remember by the Ink Spots?
No.
We three, we're all alone. Living in a memory, my echo, my shadow, and me.
I remember it now. Yeah, they were some good ones.
Well, it's now 1950, and you graduated in 1950.
That's right.
Okay, we're entering the 50s. To me, my 1950s is loving being able to name cars when they drove by, loving to later listen to rock and roll and the radio. The transistor first came out back in then, and moving. I moved all over the place. But to me, this, I believe the Sputnik may have come out in the 50s.
Yeah.
We were afraid of the Russians. We were lacking steel or whatever it is, because the bumpers on cars were not real steel. They were fake. And that's, you know, my 50s, you know, was, of course, I was in grade school and high school. Your 50s, you're a graduate from Carleton College, and what's going to go on for you in the 50s at 10 minutes before? Excuse me, I got to, you're listening, you know, I haven't mentioned that we are KYMN Radio.
Ah, that's where we are today.
And that this is 1080 on your AM dial.
Streaming worldwide.
Thank you. And 95.1, the one FM, and the reason you have to do that is because people that like talk shows, they'll go across the dial, and they want to know who they're listening to.
I see.
And then one of the worst things that can happen is talking to somebody, and at the end of the interview, you say thank you, and then you talk about something else.
Mm-hmm.
And people that tune in right at the last, they go, wow, that's interesting. They listen. Then they say goodbye to the guy, and you don't even know who it was.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's why I keep saying Bob Will.
Uh-huh.
And that, you said that you got to find on here. I'll take a final break.
Yeah.
You said we have a song by Bob Will, San Antonio Rose or something like
that's
that.
That's right.
We'll be back in just a moment on KYMN Radio.
It's time to stop smoking once and for all by attending the next Mark Patrick Hypnosis Seminar in Northfield. In just 2 hours, you can finally become a lifelong non-smoker. Regardless of your past experience or how long you've been smoking, this program is designed so you can stop smoking without anxiety, irritability, or gaining weight. For only $49.99, you can become a non-smoker through hypnosis. Tuesday, March 13th at the Archer House River Inn, 212 Division Street in Northfield, from 8 to 10 p.m. Registration begins at 7:30. Seating is limited, so get there early to reserve your spot. All forms of payment are accepted. Or for more information, go to markpatrickseminars.com. Over 500,000 have attended their program. Try it. It can work for you. Almost everyone knows someone who stopped smoking using hypnosis. Now that someone can be you. Attend the Mark Patrick Seminar, Tuesday, March 13th at the Archer House River Inn, 212 Division Street in Northfield, and use the power of hypnosis to stop smoking now.
Do you have an old junker car in the garage or on the farm? Call Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300. Get the most cash for your old junker vehicle and have it taken away for free. Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Bob Will. I hope you like his music, because he is in studio right now. Name this tune.
San Antonio Rose.
13 years old approximately when the song came out?
Yeah, approximately.
Did you get teased?
Oh, yeah, yeah, often. And I like listening. At night, I'd have the radio on as I went to bed.
Here we go.
Here it is.
Go ahead and sing.
A song of old San Antonio, where in dreams I live with the memory beneath the stars all alone. It was there I found, beside the Alamo, enchantment strange as the blue up above, a moonlit path.
Well, it's just like everybody else. You can hum along, sing along a couple of lines.
Yeah.
That's what I like that part.
Moon and all your splendor.
Isn't that fun?
That is fun, yeah.
Lips so sweet and tender, like petals falling apart. Speak once again of my love, my own broken song, empty words.
You know, he had a long career.
He did.
And there are many artists, you know, sang along with them back in the 90s and 80s, I think. This started it all. Bob Will is in studio. The performer is Bob Will, and what's his group called? Bob Will and
Texas Playboys.
All right.
Yeah.
And Bob Will, the professor, retired, and the good Dr. Will is in studio with me. We're celebrating his 90th birthday on the Wayne Eddy Affair. You know, those recordings are short because they didn't have a lot of time on the recording device they were using at the time, which would have been 78 records.
78, about 3 minutes, usually.
Right, exactly. That was 227.
Yeah.
It is 6 minutes before 11 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair. My guest this morning is retired economic professor from Carleton College, Dr. Bob Will, and Bob celebrated his birthday yesterday and again today, and he turned 90. Did you think?
No.
Nope. You know what I'm going to ask?
I never thought I would reach 90. I thought my dad died at 59.
Oh, boy.
What do you think of that?
That's probably the average or above average in those days.
Yeah. Well, it could be. It could be. My mom was considerably above average. She died at 93.
There you go. You got three.
And so I sort of averaged it out. And as a result, I thought, well, sometime in the 70s, I'll probably head off. I got through the 70s. Well, as long as I'm here, I'll stick around for the 80s. And I got through the 80s, and now I'm starting on the 90s, and I don't know how far I'll go there, but we'll see.
Well, one of the things that you have going is, fortunately, you don't seem to have any dementia, which is very common among you're forgetful. Mm-hmm. Of what happened yesterday, maybe, but not what happened in 1950.
Right.
And another thing is, you had a little bump health wise, and you look great, and you sound great. So you know, you must be taking good care of yourself and less worry about that. And I'm wondering if a person 90 years old says to himself, "You know what? I'm going to go for 100," or is it, "You know what? Man, I have had 90 years. They have been great. I have a legacy. And if it isn't painful and stretched out, if I die, I die."
I'm closer to that second one. I enjoy life as it's coming along from day to day. Some days aren't very good for one reason or another, and others are. And I'll take each day as it comes and not have some that I want to get to. I feel no need for that. If I get to it, I'll be grateful. If I don't, I'll still be grateful.
You know who Marilyn Sellers is?
Oh, yes.
Well, you're going to follow her suggestion. One day at a time, sweet Jesus. They took that out of the national hit. I looked up and I found that the average Caucasian male lives to about 79.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. And I remember looking at that several years ago, and it was 76. Mm-hmm. And I'll be 77 in May.
Oh, well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I passed one and approaching the other. Mm-hmm. So I have basically the same attitude that you have at 90.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are people that are 60, 70s, 80s that just wish they weren't here because of the misfortune of ill health.
It's and, usually that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, you know, the, it's a strain on the family both ways. There are people in America today that have to take care of their kids and take care of their folks.
Yeah.
And the kids are millennials, and they're they can be something else.
Mm-hmm.
And their folks are that born in in the 50s, maybe 40s, 50s.
Yeah.
So anyhow, it's interesting to have you on here. I was going to go through all the decades and what was the highlights. And we started in the 20s, which you were only 2 years old by the time the 30s rolled around. Great stories from the 30s and very interesting ones from the 40s.
Yeah.
And now we're in the 50s. You graduate from Carleton College with a bachelor degree.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to further your education.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That means you have to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about the 50s and see how far we can get into, you know, the 60s. You were a professor during the Flower Power years. You were a professor during the...
And the Civil Rights years.
And the Vietnam years.
Yeah.
And the killing years, the 60s.
And
you were attuned to the what was going on at the campus. Were you ever a... what do you call it, a mentor or a dean or anything like that, where you had a responsibility to work with the students?
With other, in different ways.
Yeah, other than teaching economics.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we were, I think all of us on the faculty had a limited number of students that we worked closely with, known as our advisees. And the advisees... when freshmen and sophomores were spread throughout the faculty, and then the juniors and seniors were more limited to the faculty in the department they were majoring in. So either way, you would have groups, different backgrounds in the freshmen, sophomores, a more narrow interest in the juniors, seniors. But it depended on the student. In some cases, it was primarily academic oriented. In other cases, a student was going through problems and maybe was willing to share or needed to share some of those problems. And they'd come in and they might begin by talking a little bit about a course or the academic question, but soon they got around to what they really wanted to talk about. And there'd be a variety of issues, family problems, a death of somebody close to them, divorce issues in the family, and they needed somebody to talk with. Some faculty were good at doing that. Other faculty weren't as good as doing that. And the students kind of gathered, came to discern which faculty were more helpful to them. And one of the benefits of a small college like Carleton St. Olaf is that there's the opportunity for a student to really get to know a faculty member gain not just academic knowledge, maybe even a bit of wisdom from it, but also a kind of security, a warmth, an interest, a friendship. There are a lot of, I'm sure each faculty member has a number of students, who have been, and have become over the years friends, more than just an alum, but friends.
What's the difference between knowledge and wisdom?
I wish I knew. I wasn't wise enough. No, generally, for example, we know something about our cars. We know how to handle them in different types of weather, and so we know how to handle them when they're speeding. Wisdom, that would be knowledge. Wisdom is having the good sense to know that you should be going slower in bad weather, that there can be dangers.
You know, I think another way you could describe that is one is educated and the other is street smart.
Yeah, you could, yes. Yeah,
wisdom and knowledge, yeah.
That's a possibility, too, yeah.
Can't name the states of the, but he can tell you the activity in the neighborhood and where you should and shouldn't go, et cetera.
Yeah.
Well, it's a little over 11 o'clock. We have to take a break. We have to cover the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s. What do you call it, the 2000s?
Yeah.
What do some
people call it the aughts.
Okay.
You know, so aught one, two, three, four.
Okay, so we had the aught one, and we're working on the aught two.
Yeah.
Okay. It was easy for us, you know. You're the 20s and the 40s,
sure.
You know. Well, thank you, Bob. I hope you enjoyed today's conversation as much as I did.
It was enjoyable, and it's going to be a nice day for all of us in Northfield.
Yep.
With the sun shining out there and a bit brisk, but wonderful for this time of year.
Tell the people what we're going to do immediately after we exit the studio.
What are we going to do?
Well, I'm going to eat my birthday cake.
Oh.
Have you already done it?
I've had my my cake here.
Terry and the staff here got half a dozen of these beautiful
cupcakes.
And
delicious. And sort of I had a double chocolate one.
All right.
Oops, there goes my pill.
Okay. Well, you take that pill, and I'll bet everyone a farewell, and we'll cut and get together soon, all right?
Okay.
Happy
Bye
birthday
now.
Again. All right. Bob Will, my guest on the Wayne Eddy Affair on your radio station, 1080 on your AM dial for almost 50 years, and, of course, 95.1, the 1 FM. From Northfield, Minnesota, the home of cows, colleges, and Bob Will.
95.1. The one, still a friend you can count on.
Well, I got a woman mean as she can be. Well, I got a woman mean as she can be. Now, sometimes I think she's almost mean as me. She got a ruby lips, she got shapely hips, yeah. Boy, she makes a royal leap. I got a woman. Everything I do, well, I sure do it good. Yeah, I got a woman mean as she can be. Sometimes I think she's almost mean to me. Shapely hips, yeah. Boy, she makes a royal flip. I got a woman mean as she can be. Sometimes I think she's all mean to me. Leave it now. Let's go one time.